You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and as always, it is a pleasure to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information, you can find it on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up, Carolyn listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
It is a pleasure.
I guess I've been going through this dilemma for a while, and in regards to, well, I'm part of the Lutheran Church, and for the past few years, they've been allowed to do ceremonies for gay marriage. Personally, for me, I'm very against it, you know, but I know we're supposed to, you know, love everybody, and, you know, I mean, I have a few gay friends, but, you know, I don't agree with their lifestyle. I mean, they know my views and all that, and, you know, I don't judge them or anything. But I'm just, I guess for me, is it wrong to still go to the church if they're condoning that?
Well, yes, it is, because one thing that we know for certain is what Scripture lays down as the parameters which we are to live within. And God sets those parameters around our lives because He loves us. He's not trying to squelch our happiness. He loves us, and so He encircles us with parameters that keep us from self-destructing either individually or as a civilization. And the redefinition of marriage has not only undermined the foundation of human civilization, but it has opened a Pandora's box that has grisly content. And given the U.S. Supreme Court's reasoning, it is hard to imagine how polygamy or even pedophilia will not likewise be blessed somewhere down the line by social constructs that are imposed by the court. And if there is no special virtue in opposite-sex marriage, you have to ask the question, is there any magic in the number two? Or why arbitrarily assign an age as the magical age of consent? The point being, once we abandon biblical definitions with respect to marriage, there's no limit on where our unsanctified passions may lead us. And of course, I've been talking about that on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, where you now have gender fluidity. And if you dare buck that tide, the bullying will be severe. In cases of states, you may lose elections and you may lose billions upon billions of dollars. But the reality is, what you have here is the LGBTQ community pushing for a radical redefinition of civilization through marriage and gender, as well as a church remade in the image of the culture, which is the church that you're describing that you are presently part of. And by the way, greatly expanded government filling the void of what has been in the past a vibrant church. I mean, you think about the fact that you're talking about Lutheranism. I mean, Luther would not only turn over in his grave at the thought, he'd go into high rotation. What's happened unfortunately, has anesthetized way too many people such that they're in slumber land, or they think that if they would be against same-sex sexuality somehow or other, that's being hateful. No, it's being helpful. It's exactly the opposite. Oftentimes, I like to use the medical example because it rings true. If I happen to be a cancer specialist and you have cancer, and I'm not willing to say to you, because I love you so much, that there's something I can do to help you, I'm really demonstrating I don't love you to begin with. I mean, there are some realities, and every pastor ought to know this because it's not very complex. There's an anthropological reality. Women and men have gender complementarity that is absolutely critical to marriage and its byproducts. Not only that, but there's a biological reality. And it's not hard for anybody to figure out. It always, always, always takes a male and a female to reproduce. And then you have the civil reality, which is if you want a healthy civil society, both a mother and a father are necessary. And I always go back, I think it's so ironic to see the shift in the culture and now in the church. I go back to Barack Obama. He was pounding the drum against same-sex marriage at the beginning of his administration. And all of a sudden, the culture changes. He changes with them. Well, I can understand a politician doing that. But it's really hard for me to grasp a pastor doing that. Because most pastors are well-trained, particularly in conventional, traditional churches. They at least have the intellectual acumen to know the anthropological, the biological, and the civil realities and how disruptive same-sex sexuality is to those realities.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Hank. You've just totally affirmed what I needed to hear, and thank you so much.
You got it, and thank you for calling. I mean, it's an important subject to bring up on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Who knows how long we will have the freedom to speak openly, but there are all kinds of signs on the horizon. If you say something, for example, about Islam, the label Islamophobia is quickly trotted out, and so people stifle themselves. The church is largely silent on the issue. And when Barack Obama, our former president, said that it's critical that we allow Muslims in the West to practice their religion as they see fit, by the way, the as they see fit is directly attributable to him. That's how he put it. And of course, he knows more about Islam than the average person, and most surely knows how women are treated in Islam under Sharia. I'm sure he's read the classic Islamic manual, Reliance of the Traveler. And so as an educated person who speaks with soaring rhetoric, not just when he was president, but in the present, about Islam, he knows what he's talking about. Now, should we simply go along with that because it's politically correct? Well, a lot of churches go along with it. Why? Because if they don't, there's a price to be paid. And the same thing is true with respect to, quote-unquote, homophobia. The label is quickly put on someone who says, I don't think there are 200 gradations of gender. I don't think that there are 57 varieties. I think Facebook is wrong. I think time is wrong. I simply don't think that's true. And this is a new social construction that bears a harbinger of danger for many people. And this is not about a fear of homosexuals. It's exactly the opposite of that. Because the Christian church has never feared homosexuals. The true church has always loved homosexuals, just as they have loved other sinners. Christ reached out to people who were in sin, and we are to follow his example, recognizing that we ourselves are in sin. So it's not a matter of judging, it's a matter of recognizing that we have a piece of bread, we've found food, not only physical but spiritual as well, and we can tell other people where they can find food as well. But the question I can't leave alone, because I think Carolyn brings up something that is absolutely critical to bring up. We either have to speak the truth and speak the truth in love, or we are going to be silenced. This is not something that is shrill talk or something that we think, well, maybe down the line. This is on the horizon now, and we've been talking about this for a long time. And unfortunately, the leavening force in society, the church, is largely silent. And I can tell you there's a price to be paid. I can tell you. And it's not fun paying the price. We are coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Did you know that without the bodily resurrection of Jesus, there is no Christianity and no hope? As the Apostle Paul wrote, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. But history and archaeology attest to the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. Don't miss historian Paul Meyer's documentary, The Week That Changed the World. This DVD will give you hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Susan next. She's listening in Connecticut. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
I have a question. There are a couple of women in my church who go to the abortion clinic about once a month, and they hold up posters with aborted fetus pictures, pretty gory, on them, and kind of show them to the women that are going in. They also hand out tracts, too. I have a problem with holding up a picture like that to women who are struggling with the issue of abortion. How do you think would be a better way to handle that if you want to, you know, get the women to see Jesus and what his, you know, feelings are on life?
Yeah, Susan, you know, one of the things that I think immediately as you speak is that if you're going to do that very thing, one must most certainly do it with a broken heart as opposed to a pharisaical attitude. Secondly, I think that one of the things that's necessary is to be willing to do something in a positive vein in terms of helping these women that, as you mentioned, are struggling. Now, obviously, the people that are showing the pictures may have a broken heart, and they may actually recognize that there are two kinds of women in harm's way here. The woman having the abortion and possibly the woman or the child that is female in their womb. And so maybe they care deeply about both, and that's why they're there. And they're with a broken heart. They're willing to help in some way that's productive. And I think that's the big thing. It's not only, and we always have to find this balance, it's not only cursing darkness, it's building a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Now, I'm not suggesting that it is incumbent on every person that feels passionately about this to be willing to adopt the baby or to be willing to come up with some other kind of a solution to the problem. But I will tell you this in general. The reason that you have the kind of culture that we have today is because people in the church have not done the basic thing that needs to be done, and that is to change the heart of a person. Because when the heart of a person changes, everything changes along with that. Now, I'm not offering here an either-or dichotomy because it can be both and, but I agree with you. There are methods that are used oftentimes that end up being counterproductive as opposed to productive. In other words, the moment the person walks into the Planned Parenthood office, the Planned Parenthood person seems to be the kind and the nurturing individual that's going to help them in a productive way with a problem. And the person outside who's yelling or screaming or showing pictures often seems to be the one unkind. So again, I think that many times it's not a function of whether we should be doing these things, whether we should be exposing what's going on with Planned Parenthood, because I've been doing it on the broadcast. I mean, it is an industry that is beyond comprehension. So again, I want to be very measured in what I say, which is that when people expose that, it is a good thing. But we need to be gentle as doves. We need to be wise as serpents in everything that we do. And so it really ultimately for me gets down to the kind of attitude that we have if we are called by the Lord to expose what is really going on, the silent Holocaust in our midst.
Yeah. Well, a couple of these women have actually adopted children that were going to be aborted.
Well, think about that for a moment. We've adopted children, and I will tell you that that is a person that's going in with a broken heart, a person that's not just cursing the darkness, but building a lighthouse. So that is very much to be commended, because again, it is emblematic of where their heart is. And that's what the Lord is looking at. I mean, if we're not rescuing the perishing in this time-space continuum, who is? So yeah, again, we need to do what we do with wisdom. We want to do what we do in such a way that it's productive and not counterproductive. And you've just given a great example of someone who has a broken heart and is doing something in a productive fashion in the midst of this abortion holocaust.
Thank you very much, Hank.
Hey, thanks, Susan. Appreciate your call. Very thorny issue, if you will. Let's go back to the phone lines. E. Frank in New York, New York, listening on the web. Hi, E. Frank.
Yes. Hi, Hank. I am calling because I have a question that's in regards to the conversion and the spiritual understanding of Jesus in foreign lands. I was involved with the redundancy and with the stagnation of the Christian Roman Catholic Church, and I am just astounded how in other countries they have not heard the gospel of the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, Hank, is it possible for miracles, evangelization, conversion, and revivals to occur in lands where there has never been the gospel preached? Because it's hard, as hard as it seems that there are still places on earth that for some reason they have not heard the gospel. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's a good question, and I was talking to my youngest son. We were taking a walk, walking the dog. My wife told me to. And as we were walking and talking, we had a conversation on this very subject, and it was a beautiful evening. And I looked up at the stars, and I said, those stars speak just as the sun, moon, and stars speak. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. And then David says, their words go out to the ends of the earth. And so what I was pointing out to my son is that no matter where you are in the world today, if you look up, especially when there's no light pollution, and you see the majesty of the stars, you see the sun and the moon, you know that there is a God. So there is no place where that message has not gone. Secondly, as I have said many times on this show, there's also an internal message. It's part of our DNA. God has created us in his image and likeness, and because of that, we have an intuitive sense of God. In fact, we are created for fellowship with God. So, we have that light, but if you like darkness, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, better than light, then that's indicative of the fact that your deeds are evil. Because you don't want light, you're obscuring that light. So, no matter where you are, you have the outer light and you have the inner light, and if you respond to that, you can get more light. Now, does that always have to come through a normative means? Does that always have to be an evangelist? Does that always have to be a church plant? Does that always have to? No. There are many, many ways in which God reaches people. I think about Saul, who became Paul. God reached him in a very, very direct fashion. So we know that God can reach people who are genuinely searching for him or really care about truth. He can reach them. And that's why Paul ended up on Mars Hill saying, from one man, God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And he did that because men could therefore reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So Paul is saying, no matter where you are on this planet, you can be found of God. Now, there's another way of answering this, and I won't necessarily elaborate because I don't have time, but let me simply say this. It is not the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that damns. It is despising the words that come from the heavens, God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. It is despising the inner voice, and doing it your own way. So as long as someone is genuinely reaching out for God, you may be a friend of God like Abraham. But Abraham, I can tell you, did not have the requisite knowledge that I have. Now, am I making myself greater than Father Abraham? Of course not. I'm simply saying that I live after the cross. So what he looked forward to dimly, I can see very clearly, which of course gives me a greater accountability as well. But again, Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham is going to be the paragon of virtue in eternity because he is going to be completely Godized in eternity. He is going to reach full theosis and forever experience the glory and grandeur of God and the glory and grandeur of his created handiwork. So God is not dependent on normative means by any means, but that does not mean that we should not use the normative means available to us to preach the gospel wherever we have the opportunity. My apologies to those hanging on. Hopefully I can talk to you on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're out of here for today. Do remember, we do what we do because life and truth really do matter, and we're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your support, your encouragement, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.